Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today, broadcasting from my basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado, where we homeschool our children and have so for, what is it, like 22 years. My wife in studio with me, as is Daniil Papagiorgio, who is the coordinator for a life schooling conference in South Carolina. We're looking forward to that conference.
North Carolina.
Is it North Carolina?
Yes.
I'm sorry, yeah.
Okay.
Which city is it?
It's Matthews. Right near Charlotte.
Okay, uh-huh. Very good. Well, you know, I think what's happening right now is we're in the middle of a gigantic Copernican revolution in the area of education. And it's about time, because education itself is self-destructing. I think almost everybody understands that. Your average person with a master's degree is acting like a high school graduate did in the 1950s. And so right now education is largely broken down, but it's broken down because our systems are broken down. And I think also we've increasingly departed from a biblical concept of education. And as you walk away from God's intent for education, you begin to find more and more destruction of education. And that's why bringing back the biblical concepts of life integration, the principle of individuality, the vital importance of discipleship and the education of children is so important. You can't be processing hundreds of thousands of children through systems and somehow assume that treating children like widgets through manufacturing processes is going to yield any kind of a good process. Now, of course, the modern system has been created by statists, that is socialists, and those who want to centralize and standardize. And those are the mantra. That's been the mantra. That's even the mantra for Republicans. Republicans are big on standardized tests and centralizing control and being sure that education is being controlled by experts in the State Departments and the Department of Education in Washington. So what we're saying is let's massively decentralize control. Let's bring in a biblical concept of education, and let's set aside the Greek model that does not include the area of life integration. And so life integration is so important to us, and we've been talking about life integration for some 14 years on this program, and I'm hoping that people get the vision for it. I'm so happy that there's a conference dedicated to this idea of life schooling. So, Daniil, welcome to the Generations program. It's good to have you
Thank
with
you.
Us.
Thanks. Great to be here.
How did you come to this idea that if you're going to homeschool your children, let's be sure to bring a little life back into the education of your children?
Well, you know, I think like anyone, like most people, I started off homeschooling with all that I really knew, which was the school model, because that's what I grew up with. And I quickly realized that that was not going to work. God creates us all differently, and I tend to be a more relaxed type of person to begin with and have a harder time with that sort of rigid structure. Mm-hmm. So I think it was a little bit easier for me to kind of throw that off in a sense. You know, and I'm always clear about, I believe in structure. I believe in schedules, but the type of structure and schedule which really just interferes with family life and controls the family life is not the type of schedule that I think God wants us to have. Because first and foremost, we need to be focused. And this is another problem that I see, is that so many Christians, and this is just like the world, are so focused on education, on academics, that they forget that the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you.
Mm-hmm.
And do we really believe that? First and foremost, we have to focus on the character and on God.
Right. And it turns out that as we do so, it readjusts the priorities for our lives and the schedules in mm-hmm. our lives. And when we're so affected by the world and by the standards of whatever the world's expectations are concerning, you know, getting your kid into a good college so they can mm-hmm. get a good job, so they make a lot of money, so they can die with the most toys, that worldview is not our worldview, but
exactly.
It tends to seep in, and I think it affects tens of millions of American Christians and certainly the homeschoolers as well. But we've got to remind people that that's not our priority. That's not our way of life. Our way of life is set by Jesus. And he's not all about rushing around, doing the Martha thing, and getting your kids into a good college so they can get a good job so they can die with the most toys. That
exactly.
just is not Jesus' worldview, and we've got to figure out what Jesus' worldview is. I think you mentioned this off air, but the whole idea of teaching your children as you sit in the house, as you walk by the way, as you rise up, as you lie down, that doesn't sound like a classroom. You know, it's just it does not
no.
does not sound like a whiteboard. Jesus did not set a whiteboard up in the boat as he lectured on faith. You with me? That was not
exactly.
his. He didn't
exactly.
put a seminary together or a university or even a Christian college. He did it differently.
Right.
He did it in real life, and he had real life application. He sat them down. He taught them a bit, but then immediately sends them out to cast out devils and preach the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
So he's involved. He wants them involved in life right away. And modern education is like a very sterile thing where you put your kids out on an island where A students wind up teaching and B students eventually wind up working for C students. You know, that's the way it works in American
right.
education, right?
Right. Right.
People that do very, very well in school wind up perpetuating the school thing generation
yes.
after generation, sadly.
Yeah.
So somehow we've got to wean ourselves from this, but it's a challenge, isn't it, to take a step out of this. I think my wife has been a little nervous with the way that we do things. We're always mixing in, you know, the family economy, and I'm
uh-huh.
taking my kids out on these conferences, and, you know, they're selling the materials, and my daughters are involved in all these businesses, and Abigail has not had time to do her algebra in the last 4 weeks because we've had 1,500 orders to process out of our systems.
Mm-hmm.
The point is that we're trying to get life integration into our education process.
Right.
So we're not against the books. We study the algebra, but we want to find applications for algebra. Does that make sense?
Right.
We don't
right.
want
Absolutely.
To just be stuffing facts.
Right, and the balance. And that's the neat thing when you talk about that. You know, again, I always come back to that verse, seek first the kingdom of God, because that's a promise that he will bring all these things to us. He will make it happen. And we've seen that in our own homeschooling journey. Just, for example, with my son, he loves coding. He loves working on computers and writing mm-hmm. programs. And mm-hmm. so we've really given him a lot of freedom in that to explore that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's real world. That's real life. He can
mm-hmm.
see what happens when he creates these things. Well, then he's gone back and done some math, and he said to me, you know, I started on algebra, and I already knew it all.
uh-huh.
Because he had already been doing it with coding. He just didn't know it.
Yeah.
So it's there. This learning is there. And I think when we stop and kind of adjust our thinking to say, okay, let's look at the day. Let's look at what God has called us to today. Now let's turn around and see how all of this fits into schooling. Well, here's some grammar. Here's some math. Here's some, because it's all often there. You know, it is there.
Well, it adds so much purpose and meaning to
right.
the education process itself. And that's always impressive. I can remember when we first learned this principle. It was about 11 o'clock at night, some 10 or 12 years ago, and the kids were in bed, and my wife turns to me and said, Emily forgot to do her grammar today. And so, I mean, we're sort of freaking out about this, so we're thinking about getting Emily out of bed. But then we said, well, wait a minute, stop for a second. What was Emily doing if she was not doing her grammar today?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer was that she was writing a letter to Grandma.
Ah, hello. There
now,
it is.
We stopped for a moment. We asked ourselves the question, why do we do grammar? You know, why do we do grammar?
Right.
Do we do grammar for, you know, 12 years so that when she's 27 years of age, she'll get out of bed in the morning and do grammar because she has prepared all her life to do more grammar every single day of her life? Is this the reason why we do grammar? Or is it the reason why we do grammar to write letters
letter
to Grandma?
To Grandma.
Exactly. Is that why we're doing this? Yeah. Why are we doing this? You know. And so what happens, I think, in education is that we just put off the application
mm-hmm.
until they're in the 12th grade, until they graduate.
Mm-hmm.
So there's 12 years of completely irrelevant learning with no meaning and no purpose and no application whatsoever for 12 years. And then finally we wake up when they're, you know, 22 or 24 years of age and they've got to get a job. So somehow they've got to now apply what they've learned for the first time in their life after 18 years. And there's such a disconnect between the learning, the knowledge, and the application of it. And it's so incredibly frustrating. It's like learning to ride a bike by taking bike for 18 years. You know, bike. You just study bike for 18 years. You study bike 101, bike 102, bike 103. It's just like bikeology for 18 years. Bike accident recovery workshop, you know, bike statics, bike dynamics. But we've never really gotten on the bike.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It's craziness. I can't believe that education is done this way.
I know. When you really start thinking about it, it's absurdity. It really is. And we don't learn that way. I mean, that's just, I love your example because it's so obvious that you're not going to learn by taking bike 101 or bike 102. You're going to learn by hopping on the bike and crashing a few times.
Exactly.
You know, and that's okay.
That's right.
And we crash all the time in life schooling. You know, we have our days when, well, that didn't really go as we thought it would. But that's okay because we're learning other lessons then.
Right.
You know, we're learning through the mistakes just as much.
Right. And it adds so much meaning to it. When kids sit around and watch, studying their geometry and their algebra ad nauseum for, you know, 16 years, they can't figure out why they're doing it. There's no obvious application for it.
Right.
And I think it's very frustrating. You know, one of the other applications that I identified when I'd been through physics and engineering and all this, and I'd graduated with a bachelor's of science in mechanical engineering.
Mm-hmm.
And we were digging a well on a piece of property up in Oregon. And it turned out that it was a very low flow well, a really, really low flow. But my dad was standing right there. And he says, well, but if your static height for the water is fairly high, you may be able to live off of that. And I said, well, you know, how deep is this water, you know? And I said, let's go get a string, and then we figure out how, you know, deep the water is. And Dad said, actually, why don't you just go get a rock? I said, go get a rock? What do you mean, go get a rock? He said, go get a rock. And I'm like, okay, you mean I just drop a rock? Yeah, drop a rock. One and two, and it's a one-half GT squared opportunity here. One-half GT squared opportunity. Now, what does that mean? Well, see, what it is... I had learned all of this information about dropping rocks and doing the one-half GT squared thing. See, the height of the water, when you hear the splash, one and two N is a one-half GT squared deal, where you multiply 32 times 4, and you get 100 divided by 2 is 50 feet. So, you know, right away you get the 50 feet. See, you don't need the string. You just simply drop a rock and do one-half GT squared. The fact of the matter is, I am a graduate of one of the best engineering schools in California, second best, and it's learned by doing. We had all these labs, and so we had all this application in the laboratory, but no life experience. So when you get out of your college experience, you're pretty much useless. Honestly, you've learned all this theoretical knowledge, but you've never learned how to apply it to anything. So you're the most irrelevant, useless person in the world because you've gone through American education, through high school and college, but you haven't lived real life and you've never really applied it to real life. And that's why, you know, for me, I'm so passionate about bringing knowledge into life. You see, the way I explain it is it's not just getting a fact, but it's learning how to apply the fact into a real-life situation. See, education is a two-step process. The problem is we always take the one step but never the second step. So I guess, you know, what I want to do is find opportunities to do that. And I think we find that in our family economies. We my daughter's studying the veterinarian stuff. But meanwhile, our huskies and our beagles are having puppies. We had 5 beagle puppies last week. We're very excited about it, by the way. But here is a tremendous opportunity to, you know, apply biology, the things that she's learning in real life. And she's also working for a vet at the same time. So I just think that combination is so powerful.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And, you know, our kids may not get the highest grades and they may not get into the very, very best colleges. But is that the goal?
It shouldn't be, you know, but sadly, I think it is for a lot of parents. And this is another thing that bothers me is I really think that just comes down to a lot of pride. I think there's a lot of pride with parents about test scores and about, you know, their kids getting into whatever college that they're going for. You know, I think that's a lot of the issue,
and
too.
Daniel, one of the things I learned is that when you get into the real world, there's just something very humbling about it. You know, especially in engineering, I'll just give the example of engineering. In engineering, all the laboratories work very, very well. You know, I mean, it's all set up and everything works well. I think the same thing happens in chemistry, and you know, but you get out into the real world, it just doesn't work that way. You know, there's something instantly humbling about real life, real world experiences.
Right.
You can be the most proud scientist in the world in some Harvard or Stanford laboratory, but you get out into the real world, it's a whole different deal. I think there's just something more humbling about about our kids getting their first job, you know, and
right.
and doing, really trying to create a product that will actually sell in the marketplace.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And, you know, you touched on something earlier that kind of reminded me of another issue that really bothers me and why I'm so passionate about the whole life schooling idea. In school, you know, I just don't think it's biblical to judge our children, to compare them against other kids.
Okay.
And, mm-hmm. you know, in school, you've got the whole system of grades, A students, B students, C students, and, mm-hmm. and on down. And incidentally, it's kind of interesting because a lot of times in the real world, you know, the people that are most successful are often the C students.
Yeah.
And that's another irony in this mm-hmm. whole thing. But, you know, I went through the whole school system just feeling like I was not a very smart person because mm-hmm. I was, you know, your BC student. That whole system left me feeling like I wasn't very smart and wasn't capable of doing anything better than C or B work. But mm-hmm. again, like you said, getting out in the real world, it's not, you know, you don't sit down and take tests every day. You mm-hmm. don't have to spit yeah. back all these random facts mm-hmm. to your professors. Mm-hmm. It's real world application. And so I just think there's something damaging that happens when you're sticking a 5 and 6 year old into this kind of a system. And right from the beginning, they're learning where they fit or mm-hmm. so they think, you know,
yeah.
that I'm just average and I'm not worth as much.
I think the most significant challenge that parents like us face, though, is how do we reinvent this thing? Over a period of thousands and thousands of years, people had family economies, they had family farms, kids did practical things, they grew up, they actually knew stuff, and they could, they were fairly mature by the time they were 17 or 18 years of age because they had lived life and they had mm-hmm. applied their knowledge into real life. But that's hardly the case anymore. Have you guys, you know, struggled to try to identify ways in which to life integrate and build family economy in your own home?
Yeah, I think it's always a struggle. Anytime you have to walk by faith and not by sight,
that's
which is
true.
What we do.
I hear you.
You know,
uh-huh.
There's always going to be that doubt and that fear that creeps in. And are we really doing the right thing? And I'll just be honest. We in our homeschool, we are definitely on the relaxed end of the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, I do the best job I can. But again, this is my personality. So I'm constantly fighting to mm-hmm. make myself schedule, to
yeah,
make myself do these things. But even regardless, it's just such an amazing thing to see how God even works through that because we are all different. We all have our own personalities, but definitely it's always a challenge.
Let's get a definition for life schooling. What you've got there is you've got the combination of the principle of individuality,
right.
life integration, and family involvement,
right.
or family discipleship.
Right.
And I think all of that is really, really key because on the one hand, you want to be sure that character is preeminent in the education of your children, that you're focused on character, you're focused on their faith, the mm-hmm. fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. The book of Proverbs brings all that out. And so that discipleship and character is really essential, but you've also got that life integration element as well as the principle of individuality. And I want to touch on that as well because each one of our children are so very, very different. And of course, education absolutely must be cookie cutter if it's going to be centralized and standardized. If some, you know, big megalomaniac president is trying to establish the Department of Education, he's got to replicate the same system for every single one of the 140 million kids across this country, whether it's the farm kids out in Iowa or the inner city kids in downtown Denver, doesn't matter. Everybody gets the same thing. And if they do not function at the very same level, at the very same expectations on this very narrow set of academic expectations, then there's something wrong with them.
Right. And then they're labeled.
And then they're labeled. And then there's special needs. And then, and then, and then, and then you get this slow but steady breakdown of entire educational system. But we've got to find ways to respect the principle of individuality. And I know this is a challenge to some, but I tell parents you do not need to send all 6 kids through Algebra 2. Some may go through calculus and some may barely make it through geometry. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
God gave your kids a unique set of gifts, talents, and abilities. And from the time that they're 10 or 11 or 12 years of age, you need to be praying. You need to be seeking. You need to be identifying what is their calling? What are their gifts? And prepare them for just that. But I think people think, oh, yeah, well, that's what we're going to do in college. But we're not going to think that way when they're 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14 years of age. But I think they should, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, absolutely. You need to. And, you know, there's certain things that we want all of our children to know just as a basic. You want them to be able to communicate
sure.
well
mm-hmm.
and to know mm-hmm. proper grammar to whatever extent that they need to. But, again, like, I totally agree with you. I mean, not every child needs Algebra 2 or chemistry or all these things. And that's where, again, it comes down to faith. And do you truly, really believe that God has a specific purpose for each child? And here's the thing I say, too, is if you do believe that, then it just makes sense that you give them the gift of time when they're young and they don't have a family to support and take care of.
Mm-hmm.
Give them the gift of time to become an expert in whatever field mm-hmm. that God has called them to, because that's one of the best things you can do for your children.
Yeah, and I always like to encourage parents to encourage their kids to step into the pool, somewhere in the pool, somewhere near where their interests lie,
mm-hmm.
and get some practical application in those areas. Perhaps you have no idea what kind of scientist you want to be, but if your child just works with a biologist or works with a geologist or works in a civil engineering mentorship for a little while, you know, just mm-hmm. get a little practical experience in some of those areas. And then, you know, once you're in the water, you'll kind of move over here, move over there. But you've got to be in the water to know that. And it's such a shame that kids will go through 18 years of K-12 and college and never really get involved, and then they wind up realizing they're not really all that interested in civil engineering. They have no idea why they majored in civil engineering.
Right.
So, you know, mentorship and practical life experience, so valuable. And
absolutely.
I'm talking about kids when they're 15, 16, or 17 years of age. They need to have some of these experiences. They need to integrate these things into their lives to mm-hmm. be ready for the calling that God has for them.
Right, to really learn who they are and who they aren't. Like you pointed out, because I think that can be just as valuable, like you're saying, to find out, okay, well, I thought this was who God called me to be, but that's not really clicking with me. You know, I don't think this is the way God wants me to go. And that's something, you know, we're seeing now. My oldest is 15 and my daughter is 13. My youngest is 5. So we've got kind of all spectrums there. But my oldest, Connor, you know, he's been very interested in computers, and he's actually designing my father's website, and he's been working on that, and he's all stressed out, and he's feeling like, you know, I don't think I like this. I don't think I like web design. So, and you know, there's the element of trying to work for someone else, and it's been a really good experience for him and very valuable, but he's kind of learned that for him, that may not be the direction God's leading him. And that's a good thing to know.
All right. We just have a few minutes left, Danielle, and I'd like to talk a little bit about lifeschoolingconference.com.
Mm-hmm.
I'm up on the site right now. What a beautiful site.
Okay.
You've done a great job with it. It's July 13th through the 15th in Matthews, North Carolina. I should have known that because I'm going to be there as well.
Mm-hmm.
But again, tell us a little bit about the Life Schooling Conference and Activities Fair. What's going on?
Okay, well, the Life Schooling Conference, we started this conference last year, so it's still kind of in its infancy stages. But again, this is just a passion that God has put on my heart to help to really free families from the world's type of thinking, the system mentality. We have several well-known speakers, including you, so we're really excited to have you, by the way. We have Ray Perry, who is, she's all about entrepreneurship, helping your children to kind of go in that direction.
She's got some great stories.
Oh,
I know Ray.
She does.
She's wonderful.
She's awesome, and she's
mm-hmm.
been a mentor of mine personally. So she's going to be coming. We have the Benham Brothers, our keynote speakers. So
oh, yes.
We're really
uh-huh.
excited about having them. They're just
excellent.
Awesome.
Excellent.
Awesome speakers. So much uh-huh. wisdom.
We just had them out in Colorado this weekend.
Oh,
believe
wow.
it or not, yes. They
oh,
had a great, great job. And, of course, they're as life application as you can get mm-hmm. with all their experiences and what
right.
they've done with their own families. Well, lifeschoolingconference.com is where you want to go, friends. If you're anywhere near Matthews, North Carolina in July 13th to the 15th,
what?
Be sure to check it out. It's probably worth an airplane ticket
oh,
from
absolutely.
London, England, you
yeah.
know, to get to this conference. So,
China.
So anybody listening, we do have 100 nations listening to the program. If any of this has piqued your interest, if you're thinking, wow, I am ready for a Copernican revolution in the area of education, I'm ready for it. Like right now, sign me up. I'm getting the ticket from London into Matthews, North Carolina. Then you need to check this out at lifeschoolingconference.com. It's coming up July 13th through the 15th. It's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday event in Matthews, North Carolina. And Danielle Papagiorgio has been with me on this edition of the Generations Broadcast, and she's got a great vision and a great conference coming up. Thank you, Danielle.
Thank you. Thank you, Kevin. I really appreciate it.
And you've been listening to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Friends, you can interact with the program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. And to get your friends and family members tuning in to us from London and from China, if you've got friends and family members, tune in to this program at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.
If you want the right worldview for your news, you'll want the right worldview for your children's education. That's why we've produced the Worldviews in Conflict curriculum for your teens. It's a curriculum that will equip them to engage the war of the worlds. Check it out at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum. It's Wednesday, June 28th. AD 2017. This is the World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Breaking with the tradition of the three previous presidents, Donald Trump mixed a White House Ramadan dinner celebration, reports TheHill.com. Ramadan is the month-long Muslim celebration of the first revelation that their false prophet Muhammad received from the moon god Allah. In the words of Exodus 20, verse 3, "You shall have no other gods before me." The Trump administration said late Monday that it had discovered evidence that Syrian President Bashar Assad could be planning another chemical weapons attack, reports Fox News. Three CNN employees have handed in their resignations over a retracted story linking President Trump to a Russian investment fund, the network announced Monday. The article, which cited a single unnamed source, was removed from CNN.com on Friday after the network decided it could no longer stand by its reporting. President Trump blasted CNN yesterday morning in a tweet saying, quote, "What about all the other phony stories they do? Fake news," unquote. Mainstream media outlets began to melt down yesterday when reporting on the possible retirement of Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy, who has been the swing vote for decades. They fear that President Trump will appoint a second pro-life conservative justice. Listen to correspondent Terry Moran on ABC's Good Morning America.
If he decides to retire, and there are signs that he would, it would be a war for this court, like nothing seen in the past 30 years since the nomination of Robert Bork was defeated, and Justice Kennedy took his seat.
And here's correspondent Jan Crawford on CBS This Morning.
So if he goes, that's going to give President Trump a massive opportunity to move the court further to the right for generations, and Democrats would basically be powerless to stop it.
Military chiefs will seek a six-month delay before letting transgender people enlist in their services, reports the Associated Press. Transgender service members have been able to serve openly in the military since last year, when former Defense Secretary Ash Carter ended the ban. But Carter also gave the services until July 1st to develop policies to allow people already identifying as transgender to newly join the military if they meet physical and medical standards and have been stable in their identified genders for 18 months. Leaders of a Planned Parenthood abortion mill in Kansas City, Kansas, were so upset about a pro-life pregnancy center taking business from them that they did something drastic. The pro-aborts put pressure on 96.5 The Buzz, an alternative music radio station, to pull the pro-life ads that they were airing as part of a six-week partnership with the pregnancy center. Sadly, Planned Parenthood successfully intimidated the radio station into canceling the pregnancy support center ads after only 1 week. The World View spoke with Ruth Tisdale, the executive director of the Advice and Aid Pregnancy Center, about their passion.
The mission of Advice and Aid Pregnancy Centers is to serve families facing an unplanned pregnancy before, during, and after with Christ-like compassion.
Tisdale said that ministering to these women has taught her the mighty power of God's reconciliation.
God is very actively working in people's lives. And God pursues people, so he wants to bring people back to restore relationships.
Nearly half of Americans say their expenses are equal to or greater than their income, according to a new study from the Center for Financial Services Innovation, reports CNN Money. Passengers on an AirAsia flight from Perth, Australia, heading to Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, recently experienced a terrifying situation, reports Fox News. About 75 minutes into the six-hour flight, the plane began experiencing engine failure. According to passengers, the aircraft began shaking like, quote, a washing machine, unquote. The pilot manning the flight, who had been flying for 44 years, knew the situation was so bad that he asked passengers to pray. God heard those prayers of the pilot and passengers, and the plane was able to get back to Perth with no loss of life and not even any injuries to any on board. 1 John 5:14 says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." And that's the world view on this Wednesday, June 28th, in the year of our Lord, 2017. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.